National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. Today's play is adapted from a story by Alexandre Dumas of the Three Musketeers and the Count of Monte Cristo, and many more which I'm sure all of you will know. I myself am going to play the role of Captain Zhodomierski in the story called Zhodomierski's Duel. This is the story of a group of Russian officers just after the Napoleonic Wars. They were quartered in a little Austrian village of Valins, and the date was the spring of 1825. There were five of them invited for dinner and cards by the aide-de-camp. They'd been talking over all the topics which made for conversation in the regiment, not forgetting dueling, for all of the officers were convinced there was no better way of losing one's life than over a point of honor, especially when armed with a pistol. But there was also another matter which one or two of them had on their minds.
Without being indiscreet, could you tell us what the colonel called you in for this morning, Mikhailovich?
I think so. An officer is joining us to replace Captain Voronov. Captain Zhodomierski.
Zhodomierski, huh?
That's right. Some of you probably know him. He's engaged to Mariana Ravensky.
Oh, good, good. When's he due to arrive?
He's here already. I met him over at the colonel's place. He's very anxious to meet you all, gentlemen. So I took the liberty of asking him over to dine with us.
Splendid. What sort of a fellow is he?
And I think you know him fairly well, Captain Stepanovich. You were in the same regiment at St. Petersburg, weren't
That's
you?
That's right. We were students together. He was a brave, good-looking fellow. Much liked by everyone, but a little on the impulsive side. Quick to pick a quarrel.
Mademoiselle Ravensky tells me he's by way of being something of an expert at dueling himself. But he ought to do well enough in this company. If he wants to pick a quarrel with me, I'll try and take the edge off his article.
Why has he left the guards, by the way? Is he ruined?
On the contrary. He has just inherited some 20,000 rubles.
Well, come along, gentlemen. I suggest we move into the other room for cards.
Yes.
Koloff can bring in the food while we're playing. After you, Major.
Too bad, Stum. In a moment, I thought it was going to be your game.
Well, Captain, this obviously is not my lucky day.
Unlucky at cards and unlucky in love, eh, Stum? Isn't it true that you also have an eye to Mademoiselle Ravensky?
I advise you to mind your own business, Captain.
Oh, I'm sorry. As you say, it's none of my business.
That makes 60 rubles, I believe.
There you are, Captain. 20, 40, 60.
Too bad, Stum.
Before we start the next round, Stum, may I remind you there is another little matter to be settled?
Another matter? What do you mean?
Have you forgotten the money I loaned you last night?
My purse is empty tonight, but I've always honored my debts in the past. Are you suggesting otherwise?
Shh.
Captain Zhodomierski.
Here you are at last, Zhodomierski. Come in and meet the others. Major Belayev.
Captain.
Captain Stepanovich.
My dear Zhodomierski.
Captain Pravdin.
Captain.
Lieutenant Stram.
Stram.
Cornet Naletov.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm proud and happy to join your regiment. Hello, Captain.
Hello,
so we meet again. You've not forgotten your old friend, I hope.
Certainly not. It's good to see you again, Zhodomierski.
You're going to be with us for long, do you think?
I hope so, as long as possible. I've taken a house near my old friend Ravensky. I knew the family in St. Petersburg. I've got my horses here, a good cook, possible library, a garden that's exactly right for target practice.
Target practice?
Yes.
So you're fond of shooting?
Yes, I fire 12 balls every morning. It's a hobby of mine.
Indeed. You must be fond of it, then. Personally, I can't see any point in shooting, apart from hunting.
I certainly don't regard it as time wasted. A pistol is a very useful weapon at times.
Well, I suppose that is a matter of opinion.
Exactly. I find that garrison life occasionally leads to sharp words. A man who's known to be a good shot is less likely to be bothered.
As I see it, in duels and everything else, something ought to be left to chance. It is not my idea of honorable conduct, taking so many precautions.
Could you tell me exactly why not?
Certainly. Do you play cards, Captain?
What has that got to do with it?
I'll try to explain myself. As we all know, there are some card players that have a special knack of shuffling a pack of cards so that they get a winning hand. Well, personally, I can see no difference between a man who robs another of money and one who robs him of his life.
Gentlemen, now, please.
Of course, I'm not saying this in a personal way, Captain. I'm merely speaking in general terms.
You're insulting me either way, sir. Captain Stepanovich, I must ask you to act for me in this. I feel my honor has been impugned. May I count on you?
My dear Zhodomierski, I'm sure that
if you please, Captain. Captain Zoromirsky has explained to us how he practices shooting every day. Personally, I practice merely when I fight. So I presume that a man of honor would wish to level the odds.
Captain Stavanovich will act for me, sir. I'm happy to leave the details to him.
Very well, then. We will equalize the chances. And I will settle the details with Captain Stavanovich. Good night, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, we really can't let them fight like
this. I quite agree.
Excuse me. I'm a newcomer among you. None of you know me. I have an obligation to defend myself. It's quite impossible to let this pass without fighting. I don't know what I've done to annoy the man, but it seems that he has some grudge against me.
Truth is, Captain, I think Stamm is jealous of you. We happen to know that he's in love with Mademoiselle Ravensky.
And the devil he is. Well, that explains it, I suppose. Anyway, gentlemen, you see, I have no option in the matter. I look to your forbearance.
Very well, Captain. The matter must be settled between the two of you.
Thank you. I appreciate your sympathy.
Well, tomorrow will have to take care of itself. Meanwhile, may I suggest a little dinner, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Good idea. Cut off. Serve the soup.
I remember that everybody put a very bold face on the business. Stamm had left and was soon forgotten. He was far from popular, I gathered, at the best of times. He had the reputation of being cold and taciturn, and was said to keep more or less aloof from the rest of them. As for me, I think I could claim to have behaved quite adequately. They drank my health, and before we parted, Captain Stefanovich had agreed to call on Lieutenant Stamm and learn his plans for the following morning.
My proposal is a very simple one, Captain. Two sabers are to be planted at a distance of 1 yard apart. The opponents are to stand behind each saber, each with a pistol. On the count of 1, 2, 3, they are to fire.
1 yard apart? Are you mad? Both will be killed.
On the contrary.
If both fire at once, when it's impossible to miss.
I was about to explain. Only one of the pistols will be loaded.
But heavens,
I will bring the pistols with me. The choice will be Zoromirsky's.
Come now, Stamm. We're both men of the world. I understand your desire to carry this matter through, but to propose conditions which are unacceptable even to a man of honor like Captain Zoromirsky.
May I remind you, Captain Stefanovich, that it was your man of honor who issued the challenge.
But no.
And in the presence of several more men of honor, he left the conditions of the duel to me. Therefore, I have every intention of satisfying my desire, as you yourself put it, to see this little affair through.
But what you suggest is sheer murder or suicide.
Excuse me. It is a matter of chance, as it would be in a game of cards.
In cards, you stand to lose only your fortune. Here, a man's life is at stake.
But whose? You talk as though only Captain Zoromirsky's life was endangered by my proposal. What about mine?
Lieutenant Stamm, I beg you to reconsider.
Captain Stefanovich, I'm not offering Zoromirsky a victim, one more target. I'm offering him an opponent. Either he agrees to fight as I suggest, which he has already agreed to do, or I shall refuse to fight him at all. In that case, I shall have proved that he is only a brave man when he is morally certain of his own safety.
Lieutenant Stamm, as a senior officer...
Forgive me, Captain. This duel is to be fought with pistols. And pistols know no differences in rank.
Those are your last words?
They are.
Very well. As Captain Zoromirsky's agent, I shall have to accept.
Good. Please tell him that I shall expect him under the Imperial Oak Tree in the park at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
When Stefanovich arrived back at my rooms to tell us the terms of the duel, he found me with Captain Pravdin, who'd also agreed to act for me. As briefly as he could, he told us what he had just agreed with Lieutenant Stamm.
But, my dear Stefanovich, this is an outrageous plan.
So I told him.
Well, I must admit that I rather expected something of the sort. After all, he pointed out that he intended to equalize the chances.
Oh, the same. This is like no duel I ever heard of. In fact, you might as well toss up, which is to blow out the other man's brain.
Exactly. Well, Stefanovich has agreed to the terms.
I had no alternative. You gave me your orders in the matter before I went to see him.
Yes, certainly. And I should be the last to blame you for carrying them out. You've acted perfectly correctly.
So you mean to go through with it?
Naturally. You can hardly expect me to start hedging at this stage. As the lieutenant says, it will be purely a matter of chance.
Boris! Oh, Boris!
Mariana, what on earth has happened? What are you doing here?
Oh, Boris, they told me... What am I doing here? How can you ask me that when I may never see you again? Why do you think I'm
here? My dear.
It's only an hour since you left me, and yet you said nothing about...
Well,
How could you do that to me, Boris?
I have no intention of distressing you, Mariana, but who told you?
Never mind who told me. I know everything. But tomorrow you may be killed. Certain to be killed.
Mariana, we're not alone. Think of your reputation coming here to me like this. My dear, you must leave.
No. I don't care about anything but you.
Gentlemen, may I present Captain Pravdin and Captain Stefanovich, Mademoiselle Ravensky, my fiancée.
Ah, enchanté, mademoiselle. Now, if you will excuse us...
Please stay with us, gentlemen.
Yes. Hmm? Yes, please stay. You've seen me here, so I have nothing more to hide. Perhaps you may be able to help me.
As you wish, mademoiselle, but I beg you to calm yourself. You...
Boris, I beg you.
Mademoiselle, you seem overwrought. Are you unwell?
No. No, no. Boris, please don't fight this duel. I ask you. I forbid you. If you do it, it will kill more than you. It will also kill me. Your life belongs to me now. It is no longer yours to throw away like...
My darling, please don't torture me like this. I must fight. How can I possibly refuse? I should be disgraced if I drew back now. It'd be cowardly. I should die of shame far more surely than I'm likely to die of Stamm's pistol.
Captain Pravdin, you are a man of honor and respected for it. You understand affairs of honor. Please, Captain Pravdin, tell him he can refuse this duel. Make him understand. It's not a duel at all. It's murder. Captain, he won't listen to me. Tell him...
Mademoiselle, I would lay down my life for you gladly to spare you anything, but I cannot honorably do this. It would not...
Captain, I beg you...
It would not be worthy of him, mademoiselle, or worthy of his uniform. Captain Zhodomirsky is known to be a skillful duelist. If he were to refuse to fight on Lieutenant Stamm's conditions, he would be accused of being a coward.
Mariana, don't you see what you're trying to make me do? Do you wish me to dishonor myself? Could you ever love me again if I did?
No. No, I see it's hopeless to go on. It's not that I should ever stop loving you. It's that you would begin to hate me.
No.
So I'll say no more.
My darling.
Kiss me, Boris. Perhaps we shall never see each other again. Good night, Boris. Captain Pravdin.
Good night.
Captain Stefanovich.
Good night. I'll take you home, Mariana. Gentlemen, you'd better both retire. When I get back, I shall have some letters to write. Have you ordered the horses for the morning?
They will be ready by 4:30.
Thank you. Please don't wait up for me.
As you wish, Captain. Good night.
In a moment, we continue Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
We'd like to take just a moment to preview the great lineup of listening entertainment in store tomorrow on NBC. You'll want to join noted Italian conductor Guido Cantelli as he returns to the podium to lead the NBC Symphony Orchestra for his 6th consecutive season. The brilliant maestro opens his concert from Carnegie Hall, offering music of Barber, Debussy, and Ravel, featuring the work Two Inventions by the Italian composer Bettinelli. So be sure to enjoy this hour of music with the NBC Symphony. Later, you're invited to hear high comedy drama with the brilliant acting of Rex Harrison and Anna Lee when the NBC Star Playhouse presents The Second Man. You'll enjoy S.N. Behrman's delightful comedy dealing with the dual nature of man. And for more adventure on the Western Plains, James Stewart stars as fast-shooting, slow-talking Britt Ponsett when your six-shooter hero helps a runaway boy to learn the true meaning of the Yuletide. And for more of NBC's great lineup of dramatic entertainment, hear how a stroke of fate might have altered the entire course of a nation. In fact, this imaginative drama series shows how a single event may even have changed the history of the world. That stroke of fate, tomorrow on NBC. Later, join that brilliant pair, Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy, in another amusing episode of the comedy series, The Marriage. You'll enjoy hearing how Ben and Liz Marriott handle all the realistic everyday problems in this delightful family drama. And remember to keep informed on the latest news of the week in review on Weekend, your Sunday newspaper of the air. It's the only Sunday paper you can safely enjoy while driving your car, when a host of top notables join to bring you everything from cover stories to feature items on home, fashion, and sports. Top newsmen Merrill Muller Elmo Roper and Earl Godwin offer accurate commentary on news headlines from the nation and the world, while Tex McCrary keeps you up to date with personalities in the news. All fine listening tomorrow on NBC.
And now we continue Theater Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
The dawn was just beginning to break when we set out for our rendezvous in the park. Captain Stefanovich rode in an open carriage with Captain Pravdin and myself. The others rode ahead of us. The road led us past the house of the Rubenskys, and as I looked up, I caught sight of Mariana at the window. She was as pale and motionless as a statue. Neither of us gave any sign as our eyes met. By 5 o'clock, both parties were at the rendezvous.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Who is to give the word to fire?
Major Balayev, will you do me the favor?
Very well, Captain.
You know the conditions, I believe. Here is my saber. If Lieutenant Stamm...
If you please, Major.
Thank you.
Be good enough to mark out our places for us, Major. Then perhaps you would load.
Very well, Captain.
Loading will not be necessary, Major. I've brought the pistols with me. One of them is loaded already. The other has only a gun cap.
Do you know which is which, then?
What does it matter? Captain Sadomirsky has the choice of pistols.
Is that agreeable to you, Captain?
Perfectly.
It is agreed that the sabers be planted 1 yard apart. The opponents will stand behind them. Captain Sadomirsky, here are the pistols. The choice is yours.
Thank you, Major. This one will suit me admirably.
Lieutenant Stamm.
Thank you.
Are you ready, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes?
I shall count up to three, gentlemen. On the word three, both of you will fire. Is that clearly understood?
Yes.
Gentlemen, present your pistols. One, two, three.
Who fired? Zadomirsky. He drew the unloaded pistol. Stamm has still not fired.
No, this is sheer murder.
Silence, gentlemen, please.
Fire, Lieutenant.
It is not your place to instruct me, Captain. I shall decide for myself whether to fire or not. And that depends how you answer me.
All right, then, but for the love of heaven, speak quickly.
Don't worry. I shan't abuse your patience. You see, I didn't come expressly to kill you, Captain Sadomirsky. I came here with a perfectly open mind. I'm not very well off, and I have nothing very much to lose by dying. You, on the other hand, are far more fortunate. Life must be far more dear to you. Well, fate seems to have decided against you. It appears that you are the one who must die.
Is that all you wish to tell me?
No. Give me your word of honor that in future you will not be so hasty with your challenges, and I will let you live.
I have never been hasty, Lieutenant. You insulted me with a disgraceful comparison. I was compelled to challenge you. I have nothing more to say to you. So fire.
There's nothing dishonorable about my conditions. Are they reasonable, Major? I'll abide by your judgment. Perhaps Captain Sadomirsky will do the same.
Captain Sadomirsky has proved his courage, I think. If he's not killed, he can hardly be blamed for it. Can he honorably accept the conditions, gentlemen?
Yes, of course he can. The captain consents. In future, he will be less ready to take offense.
You are his second, Captain Pravdin. I wish to hear Captain Sadomirsky.
Will you confirm what I've said, Captain Sadomirsky?
Very well. In future, I will be less ready to take offense.
Well, that's good.
Thank you, Captain. I am gladder than anyone. It has ended as I wished. Well, Captain, I've shown you that when you have courage, mere shooting in a duel amounts to very little. When the chances are equal, a good shot is no better off than a bad one. In any case, I had no desire to kill you. I merely wanted to see how you'd face up to death. You've proved your courage. I congratulate you. Oh, it may amuse you. Now, to know that neither of the pistols was loaded, you see?
You were no real danger at all.
Confound your insolence! This is a new insult, worse than the other. You think it's ended, do you? Oh, no, far from it, monsieur. We shall fight properly this time, and one of the pistols will be loaded if I have to load it myself.
Pardon me, Captain, I've given you your life. I'm not going to take it back again.
You've insulted me, treated me like a scoundrel, and I insist that you give me satisfaction.
You can insult me as much as you like. I've told you I do not intend to fight with you.
Then you will have to fight with me, sir. I'm under no obligations to you, I think. Vladimirsky is right. Your behavior has been outrageous. Not only to him, but to all of us. If you haven't paid for it in the next 5 minutes with your life...
Captain Pravdin, I have no quarrel with you, sir. This is a matter for me and Captain...
If Pravdin doesn't kill you, Stamm, I shall.
I have every inclination to kill you myself.
Devil take it, I can't fight all of you. Very well, then, if you insist. Choose one among yourselves, and I'll fight with him if I have to. So far as I can see, you don't want a duel so much as an assassination.
You can set your mind at rest, sir. We'll do nothing that a man of honor could fairly complain of. We are all insulted, for you wear our uniform and then you behave like a blackguard. You can't fight with all of us. In my opinion, you're not fit to fight with any of us. You behave like a cowardly wretch.
I fail to see why. If I had not proved to you that the second pistol was unloaded, who would have been any the wiser?
We do not expect to be tricked by a gentleman. You seem to be quite unaware of how a gentleman should behave. Well, if you want me to be explicit, I shall have to point out to you that you deliberately set out to humiliate a fellow officer. Yes. You made him suffer all the feelings of a man condemned to death. You went out of your way to prolong those feelings, while you yourself knew perfectly well that you had nothing at all to fear, that you couldn't possibly come to any harm. And if that wasn't enough in itself, then you refused to give him satisfaction after you have insulted him mortally twice.
Well, I suggested that he should not be so anxious to pick his quarrels in future.
And I suggest that you hold your tongue, sir.
All right, then. Load the pistols. I'll fight with anyone who feels like it.
Lieutenant Stamm, you have insulted not only a fellow officer, but every one of us here. I insist on the right of defending the honor of the regiment.
I have no quarrel with you, Captain Pravdin. But I'm ready to accept your ridiculous challenge.
Ridiculous?
Major Belayev, this matter must be honorably concluded. I agree to forego the first opportunity to fight Stamm in favor of Captain Pravdin. But Stamm will have to fight me as well if he succeeds in disposing of his first opponent.
Oh, no! You'll fight with none of us. You've disgraced your officer's uniform, so nobody will fight with you. What's more, nobody will even serve with you. I suggest that you resign your commission on the grounds of ill health. I think the surgeon will sign any certificates that may be necessary. A month from now, we expect you to have left the regiment.
Major Belayev, I cannot agree with you in this matter. But if that's your final word, I am sure I'm speaking for every officer present in saying that in no circumstances would we continue to serve another day with Lieutenant Stamm.
Very well, then. I shall be delighted to resign. Not to oblige you, any of you, but simply because I shall be only too glad to see the last of you, Captain Sodomirsky in particular. This is my saber, I think. Goodbye, gentlemen. I hope you enjoy your dueling.
Gentlemen, why did you force me to accept such humiliating conditions? I should never have listened to you.
You have nothing to reproach yourself with, Captain. We take full responsibility for the whole thing. You have acted impeccably throughout. I think I can speak for all of us when I say you've proved yourself to be a man of honor.
Yeah, of course you have.
Well, gentlemen, we have nothing more to detain us. Now, the Colonel will have to be told all about this. Also about the resignation of Lieutenant Stamm.
I shall make myself responsible for that, Major.
Very well, then. I suggest we get back to the village.
We climbed back into our carriages. Only this time, Pravdin rode with Mikhailovich, and Stefanovich and I were alone. I remember catching a glimpse of Stamm before we set out, far away down the road, galloping up from the village to the distant hillside beyond. Well, we were rid of him. We followed the road back to our quarters, the same road by which we had set out in the light of dawn some half an hour ago. Stefanovich, I don't know what's the matter with me.
Why don't you feel well?
I feel well enough, but I've got a sort of horrible fear. Sort of presentiment.
What about? It's probably just a reaction. After all, it's not very surprising after an ordeal like that.
Well, all I know is I wish that Stamm's pistol had been loaded. And I wish that he'd fired.
Nonsense, man. You're lucky to be alive, after all.
Well,
and we're very glad that you are.
I suppose I should be thankful that I am.
I know of somebody who certainly will be, my dear fellow. And I don't need to remind you of her name.
Stefanovich, will you do me a favor?
Of course, anything I can.
Mariana, this is her house that we're just coming to.
I know. She was at the window as I went past before.
Yes. We must just stop there for a few minutes.
Well, of course.
I want you to come in with me to see her. I want you to tell her just how the miserable affair ended.
But surely you want to see her alone.
Well, I will stay on, perhaps. But I want you to come with me. I have this horrible sort of presentiment.
I shall be glad to come.
Oh, thank you.
I can imagine how glad she'll be to see you. Driver, pull up here.
Somehow, the house appeared unnaturally quiet. We rang the bell and waited. But there was no one to answer. The door, in any case, was half open. And without a word, we pushed it wide and went in. I felt a sudden chill at my heart. I began to run upstairs, two steps at a time, Stefanovich following me. At the head of the stairs we paused. House was utterly silent. Suddenly, as we stood there, not knowing what to do, the door of one of the bedrooms opened. A man came out whom we both recognized as the local doctor. He looked at us, not knowing who we were. Doctor, is anything wrong? Mademoiselle
is dead, sir.
Dead? No.
She had a great shock. It brought about a failure of the heart. I'd often told her, and told her parents, that on no account should she get overwrought.
No, I don't believe it. It can't be true.
I'm afraid it is true, sir. I take it you're a friend of the family.
Oh.
I gather from the servants that there's been a duel. I understand that Mademoiselle Mariana was in love with one of the men who were fighting.
Oh, no.
I believe he was an army officer, so perhaps you know him. His name was Zoromirsky, and he was fighting a duel with a Lieutenant Stamm, I think the name was. She watched them both ride out at dawn for the park. Some 10 minutes ago, the lieutenant rode back into town alone. So I presume that her lover also is dead.
No, it's a mistake.
I really don't know, sir. Mademoiselle certainly believed he was dead.
Oh, God. If only he were. If only he were.
Excuse me, gentlemen, I must go.
Oh, if only he were dead. If only the pistol had been loaded. If only. This is Laurence Olivier again. I should like to thank the cast you heard this week in Alexandre Dumas' story, Zoromirsky's Duel. They included Arthur Ridley, Keith Pyatt, Elizabeth Kentish, Robert Rieti, Ferdy Main, Anthony Carey, and Seymour Green. I shall be back with you again next week when I look forward to the pleasure of both introducing the play and appearing in it myself. Until then, au revoir, and thank you.
Olivier starred in today's transcribed program. The script was by Derek Patmore. The music was under the direction of Sidney Tort. Theatre Royal is an NBC presentation produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.